Let us, as already emphasized, read from Luke chapter 1 and 2. Let us look at some things here, but hereby not only thinking on that time, but also have before our eyes what is taking place now, in particular what concerns the supernatural part, as it was then, as the attendance of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, so we see also in our days that always there, where God is at work, the supernatural takes place. But the supernatural will always be in connection with the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. God will never pull us away from His Word. Just the contrary, He will always bring us to His Word, leading us always there through His Spirit, where that happens, what right at that time, according to His divine counsel, has to take place. Here, in Luke, in chapter 1, we read, I read verse 11, here it says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. First of all, this text up to here. This was the announcement of the forerunner at the first coming of Christ, as it was foretold in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 3, and in Malachi 3, verse 1. When the time was fulfilled, God watched over His Word to let that happen what He promised and what He said He would do. God found always angels who were at His service, who could be His messengers, for thus it is written, He maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. You can read it in Hebrews in chapter 1, in the last three verses. The Lord has His messengers in heaven and has His servants on earth. And both heaven and earth are then united to carry out the counsel of God. There is a wonderful word in the Old Testament, in Psalms, that righteousness and peace will kiss each other, that God promised to give salvation. Psalms 85, there it is written, namely in verse 10 up to verse 12. Psalms 85, verse 10 to 12. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. God arranged it in such a way that the beginning happened in such a way, and thanks be to Him, that we can read it today. Just imagine, people would not have been able to write at that time. And we would not have today a report about that, what happened at that time. We would be badly off. We would have no guideline to which we could stick. How faithful God has taken care for both, for the Old Testament, with all promises, with all announcements, predictions, with all of prophecy, and then the New Testament as a confirmation that it was fulfilled, what God has spoken through the mouth of His servants and prophets. Here it says, "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at His birth." There were also many who did not rejoice. But who were these many who rejoiced at His birth? Who were they? It were those who went out into the wilderness of Judea to hear this man sent from God, who could not be held back from the temple or from a synagogue, who just obeyed the urge of their heart to hear this man of God. They rejoiced at His birth and also rejoiced over His ministry in which they participated. It continues here, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Did I write it, or did I say it? John was a promised prophet. Jesus was the promised Messiah, the promised Redeemer, who should come to bruise the head of the serpent. The prophets spoke of it and wrote of it. Suddenly, it came then to fulfillment. And listen closely now, how this angel Gabriel, to stop reading in the middle of a verse, just exactly like our Lord in Luke 4, he stopped reading in the middle of a verse. In Luke 1, verse 16, it says, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, if you read here in the prophet Malachi, there it says in the same verse, 5 and 6, it says even more. There is not only written to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, there is also written and to turn the hearts of the children back to their fathers. But this part, Zacharias did not read anymore or he didn't quote it from his memory. He stopped there, where that part came to its end that referred to the ministry of John the Baptist. I'm so grateful to God for the preciseness which we find in the Holy Scripture. No mixing. We can speak free and open about it. And whoever gets it revealed by God, he will understand it rightly, without that a misunderstanding would be possible here. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Remember Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but now was the time that it was not only spoken and announced, now was the moment that the hearts of the fathers are directed to that what God is doing now to fulfill the scripture. In other words, that to them the message of the hour, the word that is coming to fulfillment now, that it is proclaimed to them. And by this, they not only believed, but they believed and saw it fulfilled, what God promised. Now, we live in that time where the hearts of the children are turned back again to the hearts of the fathers. At that time, the Old Testament believers to that what began to happen through the New Testament. Today, at the end of this epoch, the hearts of the children of God are turned back again to the proclamation of the apostolic fathers, of the true faith fathers. We go, if we return to God and His Word, then we not only go back to the second or third or fourth century, also not into the second millennium. We go back up to the original proclamation as it was pure and holy through the inspiration of the Spirit coming from the mouth of them whom God ordained for it. And I believe that all who are ordained by God to inherit salvation, that they rejoice about it. The others are offended at it and say they run after a man. No, we believe that God is alive. We believe that God acts, and we would be fools if we would have part in that what people are doing now, and would bypass that what God is doing now. The privilege of the elect was at all times therein that they at their time recognized the doings of God, because it happened with them, among them. They were living witnesses of that what God has done at their time. The same applies to our time. Every time when I hear Brother Branham give his personal testimony, and when he speaks about it, how he was called and how he was sent with a message, then I rejoice on the deep inside of my heart. There is no evangelist in this generation who could claim the same. There is no great preacher who could say, on this and that day, in this and that hour, at this and that place, the Lord told me this and that by an angel who said, I am sent to you from the presence of God to say unto you that your misunderstood life and your strange ways already testify that you are given a commission of God. Back then, an angel came to Zacharias. Don't you think this is possible today? Oh yes, I believe 100% that it happened in the same way with Brother Branham, that he had to carry out a commission in the plan of salvation. This we all know. And we also know that the supernatural was always found there where people were to whom God could reveal himself. We can turn one or two pages and go to Luke chapter 2. You all know this story. And it says here from verse 9, And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, among people with whom he is pleased. Most translations made it easy for themselves, and right there, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Which people? Those people who found grace in the sight of God, to at that certain time having part in that what he is doing. Believe me, true believers are certainly not people to whom God speaks at cross purposes, bypassing them. True believers are those to whom God reveals what it is about. As it is written, God does nothing unless he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets, and by it to his people. So, the shepherds were on the field. Strange enough, the angel of the Lord did not appear in the synagogue, not in the temple, but now to the shepherds, and to them this message was given. For unto you is born today in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And all of the heavenly host tuned in and praised God, and were singing, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among the people with whom he is well pleased. Of Enoch we read that he pleased God. Of our Lord it is said at his baptism, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It's repeated in Matthew 17. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Who are the ones who hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Those who see the Son of Man walking amidst the seven golden candlesticks, who know that God in the various ages had his messengers to whom and through whom he could speak, to then bring the message of God to the people of God. Oh yes, there are people on earth on whom God's well-pleasing rests. I emphasize it again. Who are they? They are those who found grace in the sight of God. And if we found grace before God, then we say like Moses, Lord, if I have found grace in thy sight, then let me know thy ways, so that I know that I found grace before you. If you see a person who confesses the grace with his lips, but does not walk on the way of God, and does not recognize what God does, such a person has experienced the grace in theory, but not in practice. In the practice, the experienced grace means a becoming one with God. The wall of partition was taken away. The enmity was abolished. We were joined with God. And out of this joining with God, we see His Word and the promises that are coming to fulfillment in our time. Back then, as already emphasized, there were people who experienced what happened. Today, there must be people who experience what God is doing now. I believe it was mentioned already in the word of introduction. All of us, we wait longingly that God manifests Himself, and that one would no more have to say, where is now your God? Our God has a plan, and into this plan we want to be placed. Also this I've said here before. Before the final and mighty things can take place, the calling out must have taken place first. That from all peoples, tongues and nations, those who belong to it are called out to then experience the completion together with them who were already called out. Therefore, we have to be patient until this process is so far advanced that God indeed and in truth can do the last great and wonderful things amongst His people. In the meantime, we are required that we remain faithful, that we persevere, that we are patient and not murmur, but strengthening one another, to encourage one another and walk forward in the expectation that the Lord Himself will arise to finish His work that He started. Let us come back to Luke chapter 1. Many will rejoice at His birth. Every time when servants of God came on the scene, there were people who rejoiced. Others got angry. Those who believed and had part in that what God did, they rejoiced. The others were angry. It was the same with our Lord. He had such a blessed ministry. The sick were healed. The lepers were made clean. The dead were resurrected. And they said, We don't want that this one rules over us. Away with him! Away with him! Yes, they wanted Barabbas, but not Jesus, the giver of all good gifts. They did not recognize their time. They judged humanly and not divinely. And the divine must always be judged divine. And it must and will always agree with the scripture. This is really for me the most precious. If in Micah 5 is written that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem, then I rejoice when I read here in the Gospel of Luke that a decree was given from Caesar Augustus that all the population should be counted in the places where they come from. And thus it happened that the parents went there when it came to give birth. I rejoice about it. God watched over his word. Not in Nazareth it could happen. They left Nazareth to obey this human decree so that God's word is being fulfilled. Sometimes God uses even people. They can give a decree, some kind of command. And also this is a part of that what God does. We could go back now to the people of Israel. When they should return from the 70-year captivity, how God has laid it into the heart of the King Cyrus to give this decree that the people should return to rebuild the temple and so forth. God can direct hearts of unbelievers like rivers. He can use a Herod, a Pilate, an Augustus, who they might be, if it serves for the carrying out of his plan of salvation, then he can use anyone, no matter who they might be. There a decree went forth by Caesar Augustus, but God was behind it. God scheduled the time so nicely, as one would say today. Not one day, not one hour was missing. Everything at the right time, at the right place. Nobody needed to help. Not outside of Bethlehem. No, they arrived there. And already was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. I can read it to you from the Old Testament. Here it says in Micah, in chapter 5, black on white, that the Lord would be born there. And it was so. Why do we emphasize all this today? I want to know whether you know it. We emphasize it for one single reason. Because God, at that time, when the plan of salvation took its beginning, he was at work on all levels. With Joseph, with Mary, with Augustus, with Zacharias, wherever. If God starts to work, then always to fulfill his word, to confirm that what is written. This we find up to the crucifixion, up to the resurrection, up to the ascension. Everything happened as it was spoken by the mouth of the prophets. Yes, when the people entered Jerusalem and were singing Hosanna, this happened so that it might be fulfilled what the Lord said through the prophet Zechariah in chapter 9, in verse 9. What was it? Everything precisely determined, on day and hour prepared, so that, like in a script, everything could run accordingly. The roles were assigned, they were played by everyone who participated. Not one had to confer with the other. They all were and acted in one spirit, because the hour of God had come, that it had to be fulfilled what was written. And about this I rejoice, whether it's a King Augustus or whether it's a Pilate, whoever it might be, doesn't matter, or a Zacharias, to whom is said what will happen. But all, no matter where they stood and who they were, God took care for it, so that the scripture might be fulfilled, that at this certain time, also the circumstances, that everything would take its course in a way he planned it. In the same way, we may see it today by his grace. It's not a coincidence, but divine planning. We would not have known at all which promises and which prophecies apply to us, if not a man sent from God would have come. And after we even find it confirmed in the Holy Scripture, then our faith has a foundation upon which it can build, upon which it can trust. Also in this point, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but as John knew precisely which scriptures apply to him, so also this man, sent from God, had to know precisely which scriptures apply to him. John gave the answer in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, namely verse 22 and 23. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Amen. What was it? He knew exactly, this is my task. He was a part of God's plan of salvation of that time. All who came to hear the message, they were already prepared for the Lord. For John did not prepare the way for himself, and he did not build his own kingdom. He prepared the way for the Lord. And the same is happening in this generation. There was no new organization called into existence. For the Lord a way was prepared. And on this way even a fool cannot err. And if you are ordained to have part in the working of God, to have part in the final move of God, then he will also direct your heart like a river, and you will see what serves for your peace. You will see the way of God, and you won't let yourself be held back. You will also not confer with flesh and blood, for there you get wrong answers. Ask him who always gives the correct answer, namely through the Word. If somebody confers with flesh and blood, then he hears people, and probably even the enemy, speaking through the people. But he who gets the answer from the word, he rests in it. His faith has a firm anchor. So we see at the beginning of the New Testament, God worked here on earth in a supernatural way. Who of you expects at the finishing a supernatural move of God in the church here on earth before she is raptured? Amen. 100%. God is supernatural, and wherever God is at work, there the supernatural happens, and it will always be biblical. It will never be unbiblical. We will always find the fulfillment of Bible prophecies there where God is at work. Hallelujah. About this I rejoice. This is the only possibility, so that we can even check whether the thing is correct. To us, everybody can say, that thing is right here. This is of God. Yes, if it's of God and is correct, then I want to find it correct in the Bible. And if I then see it in the Bible as a promise, and then even experience it in its fulfillment, then it is very correct. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not only correct, but out of conviction, we can then say, here happens that, what God promised. I read from Luke 1, of the prayer of Mary, which was unique, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I would like that you hereby observe how often the Spirit of God, who spoke through her, emphasized the scriptures which found their fulfillment. After every sentence that was spoken out, the respective scripture came to the surface that found its fulfillment. And this I would like to read you now. In Luke, in chapter 1, from verse 46, and Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. You can read it. Habakkuk 3, verse 18. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. 1 Samuel 1, verse 11. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things. Deuteronomy 10, verse 21. And holy is his name. Psalms 111, verse 9. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Psalms 103, verse 17. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Psalms 89, verse 11. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Psalms 147, verse 6. Job 5, verse 11. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. Psalms 107, verse 9. 1 Samuel 2, verse 5, and so forth. In remembrance of his mercy, Isaiah 41, verse 8, Psalms 98, verse 3, as he promised it to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Amen. Micah 7, verse 20, Genesis 17, verse 7, and so forth. What do we learn from this? Simply the very mighty lesson. He who is inspired by the Spirit and was counted worthy by God to experience a certain part of the divine prophecy, he is driven by the Spirit and emphasize the scriptures that find their fulfillment now. So no prayer in the Spirit bypasses God. Your and my prayer in reasoning, this can bypass God and God's Word. But a prayer in the Spirit, this cannot bypass God and God's Word. Just the contrary, the Spirit searches all things. He reveals everything at the right time and lets us know those scriptures that find their fulfillment. Here it says so wonderfully, as he promised it to our fathers. Please listen to the same from the prayer of Zacharias, who was also filled with the Holy Spirit, namely in Luke chapter 1. Here we read now the verses 67 and onward. The following text is written here. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Psalms 41 verse 14. For he has visited and redeemed his people. Psalms 111 verse 4. And has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Psalms 132:17. 1 Samuel 2 verse 10. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. What was it? And what is it? We read on in a moment. Not only Mary, but also Zacharias, who was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. He emphasized the scripture in its fulfillment. He emphasized by the Spirit what the prophets prophesied by the inspiration of the Spirit hundreds of years ago. And here it was put anew upon the lampstand and shown in the fulfillment. Hallelujah! Praise be to God. Today we have a whole charismatic movement. One has Pentecostal movements of various kinds, and all say, we have the Holy Ghost, and we speak and we speak. I'm not judging here today, but God's Word must and is in every point the measuring rod at which everything must be measured. When people then were filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit led them into the truth of the Word. The Spirit has laid into their heart and into their mouths the scriptures which became reality then. If today the same Spirit fills you and me, what will we do today? We will emphasize the scriptures which are now in their fulfillment. The same Spirit who gave in advance the prophecies by inspiration is the same Spirit who rests upon his own, inspiring them to then see the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. For me, this is so exalted as I cannot express it with words. Really, so overwhelming. Do you see the difference between all the directions and the direction of God? Do you see the difference between all the spirits and the Spirit of God? The spirits, the pious spirits included, also Pentecostal spirits, they go into all directions under heaven. But the Holy Spirit goes only in one direction, the divine direction. And the divine direction is shown in the Word. And therefore, the Holy Scripture has become our guideline. What did Simeon say, who also came into the temple? What did he say? He was led by the Spirit. That's how it's written. It was revealed to him by the Spirit that he will not see death unless he has seen Christ, the Messiah. And he was led by the Spirit into the temple. When was he led there? 3 days too early? 2 days too late? No, at the right hour, on the right day. That's how God arranged it, being led by the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a difference is there between the anointed words which some bring over their lips. They say, I only let myself be led by the Spirit of God. And if one then looks behind these anointed words, then even the anointing is missing altogether, and the leading of the Spirit anyway. For as we see here, leading of the Spirit is leading according to the Word of God, leading into that what God promised and what He now fulfills, not around God, but into God, into His doings, which we now can experience by His grace. You all know that Brother Branham had to walk such a difficult way only because he was sent by God to put the word of the hour, the promises for this time, upon the lampstand. And all who are now really filled with the Holy Ghost, they are led by the Spirit into all truth. From Scripture to Scripture, from clarity to clarity, from knowledge to knowledge, from light to light, and they see that what God does clearer and clearer, as written in Proverbs 4, until the day dawns. And thus we believe it. It continues here in Luke chapter 1 from verse 72. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers, Micah 7:20, and to remember His holy covenant, Psalms 105, verse 8 and 9, the oath which He swore to our father Abraham, Genesis 32, verse 16, and so forth, that He would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, and so forth. Then in verse 76, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways. Malachi 3, verse 1. To give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins. Jeremiah 31, verse 34. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high has visited us. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2, Malachi 3, 20, and so forth. To give light to them that sit in darkness. Isaiah 9, verse 2. And to guide our feet into the way of peace. Why did I read now all these scriptures? When I today came to this meeting, I didn't plan it yet. I didn't look up these two scriptures at all. I rejoice about it, that God has given us such a clear understanding about that what He is doing now. For unclarity, there's no room at all. Just from clarity to clarity, from fulfillment of Scripture to fulfillment of Scripture. That's how it was at the beginning. That's how it will be now at the end. So what is the leading of the Spirit? Leading of the Spirit is to be led into that what God is doing now according to His Word. And you all know it. In every church age message, it says, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." Who hears this today? Who hears it? Not all them who think to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They bypass it. God has people in whom He is well pleased. People who are ordained and who are chosen as obedient children of God to believe and to have part in that what He does at their time. Regardless where you stay and what your name is and who you are, God knows you. He ordained you to live now, to hear now the words of promise, to search now in the Holy Scripture, to know what God is now doing by His grace. We were ordained to see with open hearts and eyes, to hear and to have part in that what God is doing now. And therefore, we are different therein from all the others. Believe me, in the days of John the Baptist, there was much religious business. Oh yes, in the temple, in the synagogues, Shabbat was celebrated, and so forth. But God began, and who were the ones who recognized it? It were people whom God just has taken, of whom He knew they will believe Me. They will not trample underfoot what I entrust to them. They will be thankful. They will hear. They will accept. And in them I will be able to glorify Myself. God doesn't want that these precious things are thrown to everyone. They don't know what they shall do with it. He has people, people in whom He is well pleased, in every country, in every language, in every nation, people in whom He is well pleased. Maybe you think to be worse than some brothers and sisters. It's good like this, to have this attitude. It didn't harm anyone yet, provided you don't come into some kind of depression, but that you just feel humble and know it's only grace that one can recognize the Lord and His doing. But one thing I want to tell you, a person who found grace before God will never lift himself up above others, will never look down on them with despisement. He will only look up to thank the Lord for that what we received and what was entrusted to us. There will be no one who places himself above others. and who would even judge others. No. But with a thankful heart, also we come to the Lord to say thanks to Him. You can read it in the story in Luke chapter 2. When then the shepherds came into that region, that means directly to Bethlehem, they found everything the way as it was reported unto them. And thus it will be also now. We will find everything in the way as we were foretold in the Holy Scripture. You all know, you can read all these things. In Luke 2, everything is written very extensively until the end. I emphasize it once again. For me, it's a great privilege to live now, to recognize now Bible prophecy for this time, to understand now that God has sent a prophet and a prophetic message to make a separation among the people, to make a decision. And if somebody wants to accuse us that we follow a man, he is seriously mistaken. He is wrong. We don't follow any man. We follow God, whom we observe in His doing now, in the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And by this, that we were found to please Him, we also, by His grace, may have part in it. Back then, it were some, and more were added. The same it is now. People on earth, ordained by God, to at their time hear the word of the hour of promise, to believe it, to agree with God, and to expect that it happens what He promised. This grace was given to you and to me. And when we see here that even great prophets and also the greatest man of God since the days of our Lord, he was called home without seeing the fulfillment of the last things, we may still live and we may count with it that everything what is still outstanding to see it fulfilled. But remember, when it begins to be fulfilled, then one blow after the other. Now we have a short time of preparation to be really established scripturally and to be prepared for the last round. We believe by grace, as the scripture has said. We believe every promise, and we believe that the Holy Spirit leads into all truth, and the truth is God's word. The truth is God's word, and we recognized the truth, and the truth has set us free from every error in which we were. It penetrated us. Yes, it sanctified us. He, our Lord, who redeemed us so wonderfully, through His precious and holy blood, He sanctified us and still sanctifies us even more in His truth. His word is the truth. Yes, right at the end, even the scripture from 1 Corinthians 15 will be fulfilled, and the one from 1 Thessalonians 4 from verse 13, that even those who are alive at that point of time and remain, they will be changed and are taken up into glory without seeing death. like Enoch, the seventh after Adam, was taken away and was no more found on earth. That's how it will also be with them who at the time of the return of Jesus Christ are alive and remain. They will, while they walk or stand or lie, they will simply be changed and be taken up into glory. Two on one field, two on one bed, two at one mill, one be taken, one is left behind. Blessed is he who can say yes to the word, who can only say yes and amen to every word of God, who can inwardly confirm it, who can go with all his heart. He actually has already the certainty to belong to them on whom God's well-pleasing rests. Peace on earth, in the people in whom God is well-pleased. Such people we want and we may be, people of God's well-pleasing, through Christ, through that what happened on Calvary. Also you and I have become well-pleasing before God. He has taken our place and was made sin for us, so that we would partake of the righteousness of God in him, partakers of his purity and of his holiness. And also this scripture will then be fulfilled. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, then we will be like him. Don't look on your corrupt body. Don't pay too much attention to the pain you sometimes have. Say it to your Lord and walk forward with your God, all these promises, bearing them in you. And as certain as we carry the promises until the end, the time will come when they will carry us over and become reality in us, being realized through us by the grace of our God. Let us summarize and let us come with it to a close. The New Testament began with the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The New Testament began with the supernatural working of God here on earth, there on the field with the shepherds, there with the Simeon, there with Zacharias, there with Mary, everywhere, no matter wherever we may be. If we were ordained by God and are included into his plan of salvation, then it doesn't make any difference whether you are a prophet or a farmer. Doesn't matter at all. Wherever you are on the field, doesn't matter. God includes you into that what he does. He lets all things happen according to his precious and holy word. And he knows where you are. He knows who you are. He called you. He anointed your eyes with holy eye salve. He opened unto you the understanding for the scripture, so that you don't have to confer with flesh and blood, but that you understand that it is God who speaks with us. This is the big difference. We understood that it is the Lord who speaks with us. I would not marvel if we slowly but surely also in our prayers would emphasize these scriptures, driven by the Spirit, who now before our eyes find their fulfillment, to in this way thank God and to go with and to know this he promised and this he does according to his word. I've said it earlier, Bethlehem was announced, there it happened. Everything happened just as God foretold it in His Word. Today everything happens just as God foretold it for this time. Blessed is he who is not offended at it. Blessed is he who lets himself be pulled out of everything and says, Lord, I also want to belong to them who have part in the fulfillment of the word and in that what you are doing right now. God will make all sincere ones succeed. As then at the beginning, so also now at the end. We will find everything the way as He said it to us in His Word. Also the overall condition of the end time, believe me, we could go here into many details. It is written, in the last days, the love shall grow cold in many. You all know what is written of the last times. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 4, Luke 21, Matthew 24, 2 Peter 3, of the mockers who will be at the end of days. Everything we see fulfilled. I tell you, today, we could list a whole register of fulfillment of scriptures, one after the other. God has pardoned us. He blessed us. He blessed us with a birthright to hear that what He has to say to us now and to go with, to place and to understand. Everything is only grace, and for this grace, we want to thank our Lord also today with all our hearts. For who are we? Just say it yourself. So many people are better than we, and now we are here, gathered in the presence of God. Despised, also this was mentioned, and Paul wrote it to the Corinthians. As those who are looked at as being deceivers and yet true, as such who have to endure everything for the sake of the truth. The way of the prophets and of the Lord was not embedded in roses, it was on thorns, likewise the ways of the apostles. Our way will not be different, but let us walk the way of the Lord. Until the end, until we come from believing unto seeing. I want to walk it with my Lord until the end and rejoice every time when I see anew the fulfillment of the scripture. How many rejoice about it? That we may now live in this time in which Bible prophecy is being fulfilled among us, in us, and finally also through us by His grace. Just say Amen. Amen. Amen.